Nice. Nice catch, too. All right, tonight I'm going to do a teaching on things that are happening along the way. And then fruit that's ripe to be harvested. And so along the way, kind of the teaching is going to be, a lot of times Yahweh's just going to give you a destination. And then while you're going from here to there, incredible things can happen. As long as you leave, you got to go. Yahweh's not waiting for people to say, well, you got to explain, why do you want me to go this way? He didn't. If this was a syringe and I'm a doctor, do you know why they do this? Anybody, kids?
The arrow.
Why?
Kill you.
Because if they don't, make sure there's no bubbles, the bubbles go to the top, then they squeeze it out. Make sure there's no air in there. What would happen if they injected that into a vein and there's air in it? What would happen?
Embolism.
And what would that usually mean?
Death, stroke.
Death or a stroke. Yeah, it's very, very serious. Every time you see a doctor is smart, like that, okay. Because if you put a gas inside your blood, your circulatory system, you can have a stroke, you can die. It's very, 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 very serious. So my question to you, what do your cells in your bodies breathe? The cells inside your body, what does it breathe?
Oxygen,
which is a
gas.
And how do your cells get oxygen?
From the blood.
Your lungs, your blood.
Through your blood. Your lungs, do they breathe fluid or gases?
Gases.
How do your lungs get gases through your blood to your cells without killing you?
Your bronchioles.
The answer to that is the red blood cell. The red blood cell takes these tiny little red blood cells. They look like a flat, they look like a donut. They're like a donut with a cream-filled donut. They take the gas and they change the gas into a liquid so it can transport it to the cells. And then it takes the bad gas, like the carbon dioxide or whatever the cells are getting rid of, and it takes those gases, and guess what it does? It turns it into a liquid. Because if it took the trash out as a gas, you would die. If your red blood cells did not do that amazing thing, all of us would die. And now a doctor still has to flick the tip of the pen so he doesn't kill you. He can't do what the red blood cells do. Who taught your red blood cells how to do that?
Yahweh.
How long did it take him to figure that out? Who taught your body what food to digest and what food to pass? Who taught your intestines that? Yahweh did. How quickly did he do it? Now, you want an explanation while he's telling you to go?
Yeah.
We're idiots. They have a pug. If I came over to Tim and Donna's house and Tim was trying to explain physics to the pug, I'm like, you're the idiot, not the pug. They're never going to get it. Now, Yahweh's not a fool. He's very productive, but he's not going to explain certain things to you, even if you think you can handle it. You can't handle it. Go. So remember that every time you see a doctor flicking this, that is an opportunity to go, how great is Yahweh and the red blood cells? That's just the red blood cells. So thank you for that prop. The teachings tonight is basically two women at fountains and the gate beautiful, and things that are happening along the way. Acts chapter 3, page 121, I believe. Thought about this, somebody goes, so why do you speak in tongues or why do you prophesy? Well, you know the Milky Way galaxy? Yeah. All the stars, Saturn, yeah. My God, who made all that like that, he made all those things.
Right there on TV.
Wow, look at that, yeah. That same creator that does all that tells me to prophesy. I do what he tells me to do. Well, they said that went out with the apostles. Who said? A man did? Or the creator. I'm going to do what the creator said. And one day all of us are going to go before the creator. Well, what if my parents don't do it? This life, all of us, it's just a job interview for the life to come. What if your kids don't follow? What if your spouse doesn't follow? What if whatever? One day Christ is going to come back. In a moment he's going to go, what'd you do? Okay, janitor or whatever. Or Don Shane and I call bone picker uppers or whatever. But so that's the purpose of this life. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. With somebody, or actually, we're going to read chapter 3, verse 1. through 6. Would somebody please read that for me?
I will. Now Peter and John were going up into the temple for an hour of prayer the night, and a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried, whom they used to lay daily at the door of the temple, the door called Beautiful, that he might ask alms of them who were entering into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to enter into the temple, was requesting to receive an alms.
We'll stop right there for just a second. What were Peter and John going to do?
Pray.
Going to the temple to pray for the ninth hour. That's what they're going to do. What was this guy doing? He was asking for alms, and what's the neat thing about that? What does Matthew 7:7 say? Be seeking, be asking, be knocking. And this guy's asking. How many times have we been asking Yahweh for an alms, and he gave us something incredible? Isn't that neat? Mm-hmm. I got a little of something special for you. Okay, now verse 4, remember Peter and John are just going someplace. Okay, would you continue reading loud for the mic?
But Peter, looking steadfastly at him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have the same unto thee do I give. In the name of Jesus Christ Nazarene, walk."
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, keep reading.
Okay. And laying hold of him by the right hand, he raised him up, and instantly were his feet and ankles strengthened. And leaping forward, he stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising Yahweh. And all the people saw him walking and praising Elohim, and they began to recognize him, that the same was he who for the alms used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with amazement and transport at what had happened unto him. As he held fast Peter and John, all the people ran together into them.
We pause right there. But you could do a whole movie on that.
Yeah.
Because Peter and John are going to go pray. What do you think that was like for them? We're going to go pray. People were rejoicing, and the miracles were gone because Yehoshua is dead. And this is the first sign. You know, how neat has that been for Peter? Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Peter, you love me. Here I am. He's going right back, and boom. And the point of this, that man at the gate, Beautiful, was fruit ready for the harvest. He didn't need a lecture. He didn't need a teaching. He didn't need an explanation. He was ready. He was absolutely ready. Dad did a teaching once saying, he believed that this guy missed his spot with Yehoshua. And that was it. And there's going to be times that Yahweh's going to tell you, you speak and you don't give explanations. No, I need to explain it. No, just speak or do whatever. But that was fruit ready for the harvest. Can you imagine Peter and John praying? Golly, hearing people rejoicing and the guy's dancing. He'd never walked in his entire life. Wouldn't that be neat? But that was that's fruit ready for the harvest. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it's page 167. Right around there, so yeah.
That one, first word.
1 Corinthians 3.
What
I usually tell the verse when I get there, 6. In verse 6, people we'll go to an explanation. I planted, Apollos watered, but Yahweh caused to grow. So that neither is he that planteth anything, nor he that watereth, but Yahweh who caused to grow. Moreover, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Howbeit each one his own reward shall receive according to his own labor. For we are Yahweh's fellow workmen, ye are Yahweh's farm, Yahweh's building. Isaiah 61, verse 3 says, we are oaks of righteousness in a plantation of Yahweh. If you can look at the body of Christ and the people that are going around as a vineyard or harvest, sometimes people are just ready. And what the Apostle Paul is saying here, sometimes some minister planted a seed and I watered it. And for instance, Peter and John did not plant the seed for the guy that gave Beautiful. They were just there for the harvest. And there's sometimes in your own calling, in your ministry, your job is to tell somebody the truth. And they reject you. But it planted the seed. 20 years later, it comes into fruition. You do what you're supposed to do. And then you get your reward. Well, no, I need to explain this. I need to butter. No, you don't. Yahweh is, he knows what he's doing. Deliver the message or pluck it. And there's been times that I've given prophecies and I went to explain it. Don't explain it. Yahweh's working. And so even in our life, sometimes when he tells you to do something, go, am I planting seeds? Am I watering seeds? Have you ever thought about how many times you've watered seeds and you never saw fruit? And then you go, well, how many times you witnessed to somebody, they never turned, they never, John Lynn or John Shane, what's even the point? And Yahweh goes, trust me, I told you to water, you watered. Okay? And it could be 20 years later, 30 years later, and I think it was Manasseh, 50 years later, turned. How many people planted and watered in Manasseh's life? And so in your life, you often think those things. Genesis chapter 24, 52. Page 52, Genesis chapter 24. I'm going to like to read the whole chapter. And actually, I think it's probably best if I read it. Now, which has happened, Abraham's wife Sarah had died. She's 130 years old. She's the only person only woman in the scripture whose age is ever mentioned. How old is Abraham? He's 140. How old is Isaac?
40.
He's 40. He's 40 years old. Isaac doesn't have a kid yet. There's no heir. Abraham's 140. Now Abraham was old and far gone in days, and Yahweh had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said unto his servant, elder of his house, ruler of all that he had, place, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, that I may put thee an oath by Yahweh, Elohim of the heavens and Elohim of the earth. And what's really neat about this is that Adam Clark's, so put thy hand under thy thigh. It doesn't specifically say this in the scriptures, but if you talk to Hebrews, it'd say, "Then put your hand under my testicles." And it didn't say that. But the explanation of that is where the semen was. That was the generations and generations of that you're swearing. So I've heard other people say it too. John Shane and I did it. Then a Messianic guy kind of explained it too, going, "That's the future of the whole family." Now here's what Adam Clark says about this. So I don't butcher it. I better read it. The person binding himself puts his hand under the thigh of the person to whom he was to be bound. He put his hand on the part that bore the mark of the covenant. What covenant? Circumcision. Which is tantamount to our kissing the book or laying our hand upon the New Testament, the covenant of our Lord. Place your hand upon the... Come here. Come up here. Come here. Place your right hand on his Bible. Turn around. I want you to swear. This is what we do in court.
Okay.
Swearing upon Yahweh's word in front of witnesses is a very sobering thing. Weddings are supposed to do the same thing. Now, you can imagine, what does it say? We swear you're going to find Elijah a wife. And no harlot.
So I'm going to find but if
this was a serious thing, Abraham's 140 years old. Who is this child? This child is supposed to, and what is in this guy's hand? The seed of Isaac. Actually, what was inside that covenant would have been Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And what's on the line here? Oh, just the redemption of mankind. And here you are, you swear, and so then he tells his, what's up, boss? Come inside. Oh, man, I hope you took a shower. But it was a very serious. You're going to swear on Yahweh's covenant. And let me see here. Verse 3. That I may put your hand under my thigh, that I may put thee on oath by Yahweh, Elohim of the heavens and Elohim of the earth, that thou wilt not take a wife from my son from among the daughters of the Canaanites in the midst of whom I am dwelling. Do you think that there might have been a sense of urgency on Abraham's heart when his wife dies?
Yeah.
She's 130. He's 140 going, man. What sense of urgency is on your heart? Well, we got to really get some of these things to fruition, right? But unto my own land, verse 4, and unto his own kindred will go. And that was Adam Clark that wrote that. And the servant said unto him, peradventure, the woman may not be willing to follow me to this land. May I take back thy son into the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou do not take back my son thither. Yahweh, Elohim of the heavens and Elohim of the earth, who took me out of the house, out of my father and out of the hand of my kindred, and who spake to me, and who sware to me, saying, to thy seed will I give this land. He will send his messenger before thee, so shalt thou take a wife for my son from thence. But if unwilling be the woman to follow thee, then shalt thou be clear from this mine oath. Only my son shalt thou not take back thither. No pressure. Verse 9, so that the servant placed his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his Lord, and swore to him over the thing. He's placing your hand on Yahweh's covenant. To a prophet. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul, Moses, come up, put your hand on the word in front of everybody. You're going to fulfill this covenant. No pressure, right? Verse 10. Then took the servant 10 camels from among the camels of his Lord and went his way, all the goods of his master being in his hand. So he mounted and went his way unto Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel down outside the city against the well of water at the time of evening, at the time of the coming forth of the women that drew water. Then he said, O Yahweh, Elohim of my Lord Abraham, I pray thee, cause it to fall out before me today, that thou deal in hased with my Lord Abraham. Here I am stationed by the fountain of water, and the daughters of men of the city are coming forth to draw water. So shall it come to pass that the young woman unto whom I say, let down, pray thy pitcher that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and to thy camels also will I give to drink. He's asking for a sign. What is the sign? He's going to ask her to drink, and she's going to respond, I'll also water your camels. And this is supposed to be a lot of work.
Yeah.
Ten camels. Ten. You ever heard of the term, he drinks like a camel? There's a lot of water. Okay. So that's the sign. And what's neat is if you read this before, Abraham's a king. It didn't call him a king. But when he goes to bury his wife, they go, you're a prince of Elohim. You can have whatever you want. Abraham is a king. Who's his boss? The landlord of the entire plant. He can have whatever he wants. And who's his servant? He's going to go look for a princess for the king's son. In my opinion, let's see here.
14b.
Thank you. Drink and thy camels and her... Okay. Drink and thy camels also will I give to drink. That's her response. That her hast thou appointed for thy servant for Isaac. And hereby shall I get to know that thou hast dealt in hased with my Lord. And it came to pass, ere yet he had done, when he had done speaking, he just finished speaking, lo, Rebekah was coming forth, who had been born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, wife of Nahor, brother Abraham, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. Now the young woman was very homely.
Yeah.
No, she was very pleasing in appearance, a virgin whom no man had known. She's gorgeous. And she went down unto the what?
Fountain.
Other translations are going to say well. It's fountain. She went down to the fountain. Remember the teachings about women at a fountain. And filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, I pray thee. Do you think she looks like a... Can you imagine going to go to get a... I mean, look at the last wedding with the Canadian girl with Great Britain.
Megan,
yeah. What does she look like? She looks like a princess.
Yeah.
And I bet you this guy got to them praying going, wow, that looks like a princess. That's what I want to take back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he saw it. He ran down to meet her and he said, I pray thee, let me drink a little water out of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my Lord. And she hastened and lowered her pitcher and her hand and let him drink. And then when she had done giving him drink, she said, for thy camels also. You think he got goosebumps?
Mm-hmm.
Will I draw until they have done drinking? And then check this out. So she hastened and emptied what?
Her pitcher.
You think Yahweh put that in there for a reason? She used her water. Is that a servant? Pitcher into the drinking trough and ran again into the well to draw. She ran and she drew for all the camels. Now the man was eagerly watching her. You think? I bet. And remember that eagerly watching her. Because guess what? Some people are eagerly watching you. What's he going to do? And me. And Yahweh's putting you in positions and they're going to go, will they do it? Will they covet to prophesy? Will they pray before a game? I told Caleb that. Now, I said, if you pray before a game with me, it's one thing. If you do it without me, it's another. Which one do you think glorifies Yahweh more? He went, if I do it myself, I go, hey, I can only take you so far. But remember, people are eagerly watching. Messengers also. Remember, that made me think of Gideon when the messenger got to meet Gideon. Mighty man of valor. Gideon's like, what? That messenger saw something. But he was eagerly watching, keeping silence to see whether Yahweh had prospered his way or not. And it came to pass when the camels had done drinking that the man took a ring of gold, half a shekel its weight, and two bracelets for her hand, 10 of gold their weight, and said, whose daughter art thou? I pray thee, tell me, is there in thy house thy father a place for us to tarry the night? She said unto him, daughter of Bethuel am I, Bethuel, son of Milcah, son whom she bare to Nahor. And he said unto her, you think he probably, if this would have been me, I probably would have been weeping. It just, that quickly, everything, you got to be kidding me. Let's see here. Where did I look?
25.
Thank you. And he said unto them, both straw, fodder, in plenty have we also placed it to tarry the night. Then the man bowed his head and bent himself down unto Yahweh. Yeah, I bet. And said, blessed be Yahweh Elohim, my Lord Abraham. What if somebody, a complete stranger, walked up to Isaiah in the middle of Dillon's and says, blessed be Yahweh, the son of Yahweh, the most high Elohim. You are called to go forth. Go forth. And turned around and walked off and went, they're not even embarrassed of Yahweh's name. Did that get your attention? And I bet, in my opinion, I believe that she heard Yahweh's name, but they're living in a foreign land.
Yeah.
They even hear somebody say Yahweh's name, she's going, whoa. Somebody's not embarrassed of Yahweh's name. So he gets down, blessed be Yahweh. Thank you, Tim, for helping me keep where am I now?
27.
Thank you. And said, blessed be Yahweh, God of my Lord Abraham, who hath not withdrawn his hased and his faithfulness from my Lord. I being in the way, so it's like he's on the way. Yahweh led me into the house of the brethren, my Lord. And the young woman ran and told the household of her mother. Remember, she's running with all this gold and jewelry, covered.
28.
Thank you. According to these words, now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. So Laban ran into the man outside the fountain. And it came to pass when he saw the ring and the bracelets on the hand of his sister. And when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, can you imagine, what if Esther was 17 years old? And Isaiah comes home and she's covered in jewelry and diamonds. What happened? Prophet just said that I'm getting married. What? Mom! What the heck's going on? Here's Laban. Let's see here.
30B.
Thank you. Thus did the man speak unto me, that he came unto the man, and lo, he was standing by the camels near the fountain. He said, come in, thou blessed of Yahweh, wherefore should thou stand outside when I have made ready the house and for the camels? So the man came in the house, came towards the house and ungirded the camels, and there were given him straw and fodder for the camels and water for bathing his own feet and the feet of the men who were with him and food that was set before him. This is real important. I want you guys just to remember this spot right here, because if you read commentary, they would have been exhausted, they would have been completely covered in dirt, thirsty, and very, very hungry. What's he going to do though? They're going to wash your feet, eat. But he said, I cannot eat until I've spoken my words. I'm about my father's business. He was there on a mission, because what's his job to do? He's to find. Yeah, and they remember that, because, okay. And they said, speak. And he said, servant of Abraham am I. Now Yahweh, having blessed my Lord exceedingly and made him great and given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses, then did Sarah, wife of my Lord, bear a son, my Lord, after she had become old. So he had given to him all that he had. And my Lord put me on oath, saying, thou shalt not take a wife for my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whom land I am dwelling, but unto the house of my father shalt thou go, and unto my family, and take a wife for my son. So I say unto my Lord, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, Yahweh, before whom I have walked to and fro, will send his messenger with thee, so shall he prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son out of my kindred, and out of the house of my father. Then shalt thou clear thyself from mine oath, for thou shalt go into my kindred, and if they will not grant her unto thee, then shalt thou be clear from mine oath. He's there for business. We're looking for a bride, not to eat. You think they're hungry? Yeah. Do you think they're thirsty? Yeah. No, we're here for work. So I came today to the fountain, and I saw, I said, O Yahweh, Elohim, my Lord Abraham, if I pray thee, thou art prospering my way wherein I am going. Here I am stationed by the fountain of water. So then I shall come to pass that the maiden that is coming forth to draw, and I shall say unto her, let me drink, I pray thee, a little water out of thy pitcher. And she shall say to me, both thou drink, and for thy camels also will I draw. The same shall be the woman whom Yahweh hath appointed for the son of my Lord. Ere yet I could not make an end of speaking in my own heart, lo, then Rebekah coming forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down to the fountain and drew. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she hastened and lowered her pitcher from off her and said, drink. And to thy camels also will I give to drink. So I drank, and the camels also let drink. Then I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, daughter of Bethuel, son of Nahor, whom Milcah bare him. Then put I the ring upon her nose and the bracelet upon her hands, and bowed my head down and bent myself down to Yahweh. And I blessed Yahweh, Elohim, my Lord Abraham, who had led me in the way of faithfulness to take a daughter of the brother of my Lord for his sons. Now therefore, if you are dealing in hesed and faithfulness with my Lord, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. What's that mean? To the right hand or to the left? Yeah. I didn't know either until I read Adam Clark's commentary. You know what Adam Clark's commentary says right here? I either got to go to Lot's house or I got to go to Ishmael's. Oh. You're one of three. I'm here for work. He said, my kindred, you got Ishmael. I don't know where Ishmael was, but he believes it was either Lot or Ishmael, or hopefully it would have been Nahor. And so this whole thing is, he goes, if you're not it, we're out. What kind of servant is this? Golly, and who's watching him? Is Abraham watching him? No, but Yahweh's watching him. What's going to happen to that guy? Man. You can imagine, okay, you do some research, you're going to find out where Lot or Ishmael. I never even thought about that until Adam Clark points that out. I'm like, okay. Then answered Laban and Bethuel and said, from Yahweh hath come forth the word. We cannot speak to thee either ill or well. Lo, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go thy way. And let her become wife unto the sons of thy Lord, as Yahweh has spoken. Adam Clark's going to say that this is kind of contingent. They're saying take her, but later on they're going to say something else. They're going to let her speak up. And it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard these words that he bowed himself down towards the earth unto Yahweh. How old is Isaac?
40.
How old is Rebekah? She's a virgin and she's gorgeous.
Probably very young.
She's probably 20 years old. It has a 20-year difference. You're going to go, we don't know where you live. We don't know what kind of tents this guy's got. I mean, think about all the stuff we don't know. Take her. But they say take her. What's going on in Rebecca's tent? Can you imagine, are you getting married to who? I don't know. He's old. He's really old. His dad's 140. What? Can you imagine what's going on in her mind? Right? Then the servants brought forth, let me see here, 53. Then the servants brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold and raiment, and gave unto Rebekah, and the precious things gave he to her and to the mother, and they did eat and drink, he and the men who were with him, and they tarried the night. And when they arose in the morning, he said, let me go unto my Lord. How excited would you be to go tell Abraham what happened? Then said her brother and her mother, let the young woman remain with us some days, or rather 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, do not hinder me. When Yahweh hath prospered my journey, let me go, that I may take my journey unto my Lord. Then said they, we must call the young woman and ask her mouth. So they called Rebekah, and they said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. That is ripe fruit. What was going on in Rebekah's life? What kind of woman is going to leave everything like that to move away to a foreign land to an older guy just like that? Who knows what was going on in Rebecca's life? Maybe Yahweh's already stirring things. You got to get out of here, Rebekah. You got to get separated. What was going on? We don't know. Yahweh doesn't say it. But what kind of faith did Rebekah have? And who, and in my opinion, who was watering and sowing seeds into Rebecca's life to get to this point? Because this is, I mean, Isaac laid his life down for the father. I mean, I've never done that. Mm-hmm. But after this story, guess who has the most faith between Rebekah and Isaac? It's Rebecca. What kind of woman was this? But she was ripe for the harvest. Noah turned to John chapter 4. Turn to John chapter 4. So as you guys are turning there, we're just thinking about all those things, and we should be walking by the rule, according to Yahweh's word, going, there's people ripe for the harvest, just like Rebecca. There are people, just like the guy Gabe Beautiful, there's people ready, and Yahweh said, go, and you go. Speak, and you speak. Do this, rebuke, reprove, whatever he tells you to do, and you do it. There's people just ready to go. And who's watching you? You think about this guy watching Rebecca. Can you imagine? Man. I wonder who's watching me right now? And here's Yahweh sent servants going, because Rebecca didn't do it, but he was watching all these things she did. And here's Rebecca. What did she do? She used her water pitcher, and she starts taking care of him. And you're going to go, man, have you ever... Think about picking up some... Dad's really good at picking other people's trash when nobody's even watching. Tim's really good at stuff like that, too. When nobody's watching, but somebody's always watching. Yahweh's watching. In Hebrews 11:6, does anybody have that memorized? Without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing. Hebrews 11:6. Does Jesus Christ have to please his Father?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Does he want to please his Father?
Yes.
So what does he have to produce?
Faith.
Faith. Okay. John chapter 4, page 95. I'll go down to verse 5. So Jesus Christ just gets done working. He dismisses his disciples. And verse 5. Here cometh therefore unto a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground which Jacob gave. And Mom, would you read?
He cometh therefore unto a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground which Jacob gave unto Joseph his son. Now, Jacob's fountain was there. Yahushua, therefore, having become toil-worn with the journey, was sitting thus upon the fountain. It was about the sixth hour, and there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Yahushua saith unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples had gone away into the city, that food they might buy. The Samaritan woman therefore said unto him, how dost thou, being a Jew, ask to drink of me, who am a Samaritan woman?
What's kind of neat about that is, whose rule is this?
Man's rule.
The Jew's rule, not a Samaritan.
Yeah.
She said it wasn't them. It was the Jews that didn't want to eat with them. Okay.
For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Yahushua, is that in there?
Might not.
Yahushua answered and said unto her, if thou hadst known the free gift of Yahweh, and who it is that is saying unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water.
Let me pause there for a second. Does Yahushua know what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
No. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He had to produce faith just like we do. And that's why he's our princely leader. He's exhausted. He is toil-worn with the journey. He's sitting. He goes, I need a drink. I hear a dialogue is going to open up. Does he know what's going to happen next? Well, what do we know about Yahushua? What happened to him at Decapolis? The man at Decapolis had legion in him. Cast him out. What did the people at Decapolis do?
Kick him out.
Get out. When he went back to his hometown, he could do not many mighty works here. Why? Their unbelief. He's kicked out and rejected and rejected and rejected by the Jews. Rejected. Now he's exhausted. It specifically says he was toil-worn with the journey. He's thirsty. And dialogue opens up. Okay. If you go back to reading, please.
She saith unto him, sir, not even a bucket hast thou, and the well is deep. Whence then hast thou the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and himself out of it drank, and his sons and his flocks? Yahushua answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water will thirst again. But whosoever shall drink of the water which I will give him, in no wise shall thirst unto time's age abiding. But the water which I will give him shall become within him a fountain of water springing up unto life age abiding. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither be coming hither to draw. He saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Yahushua saith unto her, Well said. A husband I have not, for five husbands thou hast had, and now he whom thou hast is not thy husband. This true thing hast thou spoken. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that a prophet art thou. Our fathers in this mountain worshipped, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where to worship.
What's new? What happened with Peter when Peter got all the fish? What did Peter say to Jesus Christ?
I'm not worthy.
Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Light makes manifest darkness. Mm-hmm. If you have sin in your life and you're around a lot of light, what happens? Get away, yeah. Or I got to go. Mm-hmm. What happens to this woman? She draws closer and closer and closer. Christ would speak in parables and people would walk away. Mm-hmm. Right? And what does she do? She digs deeper and deeper and deeper. If she was a sinful woman, she would have taken off. She would have, I don't want anything to do with this. But she digs deeper and deeper and deeper. Can you imagine the joy of Jesus Christ's heart? Somebody wants to know. You must be a prophet. Where's all the guys? Nobody's going to believe this. Here I'm all by myself with this woman. Somebody wants to hear my dad's word. How would you like it? What if you got this? How exciting is it for you to sit down on a park bench and somebody wants you to explain his chapters? It's Yahweh. The dead are not alive. Covet the prophesied. Jesus Christ is the Son. There's a dynamic dude, not a trio. And they go, how could this be? And you hear it, hear it, hear it, hear it. And they go, and they get down on their knees and they thank Yahweh right in front of you. How much would that bless you?
Yeah.
How much was this blessing our Lord and Savior going, who is this? We're going to get the meter someday. Okay, we keep, if you pick up.
21.
Yahushua saith unto her, Believe me, woman, there cometh an hour when neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem shall ye worship the Father. Ye worship that which ye know not. We worship that which we know. Because salvation is of the Jews. But there cometh an hour, and now is, when the real worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For even the Father is seeking such as these as his worshipers. Yahweh is spirit, and they that worship him in spirit and truth must needs worship. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, who is called Christ. Or whatsoever he shall come, he will tell me us everything. Whensoever. Yahushua saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he.
Can you imagine the smile on his face? She goes, do you know when the Messiah comes? That's when he's going to explain everything. You know, what a great response for all of us. What happens to when babies are aborted? Well, when Christ comes back, he'll explain it. Well, what about the person? Well, we have some ideas. Well, he'll explain when he comes. And here's our response. We know when he comes, that's when the answer is going to be. Can you imagine his face going, who is this girl? Where have you been? And he goes, I am he. Okay.
And hereupon came his disciples and began to marvel that with a woman he was talking. No one, however, said, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou?
Why are you talking to her?
The woman therefore left her water vessel and went away into the city and saith unto the men, Come, see a man that told me all things that I ever did, ever I did. Can this be the Christ? They came forth out of the city and were coming unto him. In the meantime, the disciples were requesting him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said unto them, I have food to eat, of which ye know not. The disciples therefore began to say,
well, that's okay, we stop right there. This is neat. So she was ripe for the harvest. Rebecca was ripe for the harvest. The guy at the gate, beautiful, was ripe for the harvest. And Yahweh, a lot of times, we just get a communication. It's just, I'm supposed to go do my grocery shopping today. I'm supposed to go on a different route. And he is that good that he can coordinate these things. And what's neat, when you see the similarities to this woman at the fountain and Rebecca at the fountain. When Abraham's servant shows up, he would have been toil-worn with the journey and exhausted. But he was on a mission from God, from Yahweh. And actually, it was Adam Clark that says, in his footnote, this is just like Jesus Christ saying, I have food that you know not. Adam Clark also is going to show that here Yehoshua, he was hungry too, but he had a lot of work to do because guess what's getting ready to happen? A two-day revival. Because they all come out. Who is this guy? He's got answers. And he was there for 2 days. Mm-hmm. 2 days, guys. And this, and here's Samaritans, and in verse 40, when there the Samaritans came unto him, they went on to request him to abide them, and he abode there 2 days. How wonderful for our Lord and our Savior to be invited there for 2 days to do what he was, probably to get to speak openly. I went and look back, who's watching you? What members of the body of Christ are watching? Could this be the one? Could this be the one? I see a President Trump picking people to be in his cabinet, watching. Could this be the one? And then how many people are just ripe for the harvest? And then, let's see. So I got, then it'd be just like, you got sowing, you got watering, you got reaping. And just remember that, especially when sometimes your job is to sow seeds. I got to do this with somebody. He didn't know any of the word, but he'd been coming to me for prophecies, encouragement. And Yahweh would have me, here's a guy I ministered to that for over the years, he'd been through a lot of bad stuff. And I'd send him, Yahweh would tell me to send him a prophecies at the right time. He'd broken his foot. He had this happen. He had this. He's a football player. But he'd never come to me for the word. and then he did come to me for the word, and I gave him a prophecy. And through the prophecy, there's a lot of rightly divided word that's going to really confuse anybody who believes Jesus Christ. There's only Jesus. That's it. And there's three in one. There's no Father. And then I got to send some scriptures. And then I got done with that. I'm going to go, I'm just sowing seeds. Mm-hmm. If Yahweh tells you to speak, speak. And one of the neat things about this occurrence is here is they're not explaining themselves. Just speak the word. That's not in the word. That's not in the word. Whatever. It's just there's just time for it. But I'll go ahead and wrap up with a prophecy. So I'll give a prophecy according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Therefore, my brother, be zealous to prophesy or covet to prophesy. Do not forbid to speak in tongues. Because when we prophesy or we speak in tongues, we're actually giving the microphone to the creator of the universe through Christ. There's no way to him except through Christ. And now we become the speaker. And he speaks through us. And he wants to talk to his children. My children know that I am your father and my plans are perfect. Do not doubt. Do not hesitate when I ask you to obey. For when in obedience, well, I think that's it. Okay. Amen.